Okay, so good morning, everybody. So let's pick up where we left off. So we were about to discuss about Achila on Yom Kippur. So Shalo Kederech Achila on Yom Kippur, because we're in the middle of discussing how Shalo Kederech Achila, or if Shalo Kederech Achila, relates to the sugya of Nosin Tam Lefgam, Aveinu Ra'ui La'Achila. So the Shagas Aryeh in Simon Ayin Dalid discusses the Gemara in Psachim about cases where the Torah doesn't mention an Isser B'lashon Achila, and he suggests that one example that the Gemara didn't mention is Achila B'Yom HaKippurim. The Torah only identifies the Isser of Achila B'Yom HaKippurim as a mitzvah of Inui, without ever mentioning that there is in fact an Isser of Achila. So Shalo Kederech may not apply to Achila B'Yom HaKippurim, that if a person eats on Yom HaKippurim Shalo Kederech Achila, it could be that they are not Chayiv Kares. And the Rambam says explicitly that Shalo Kederech Achila applies to Yom, does apply to Yom HaKippurim. Does or doesn't? How does Shagas Aryeh say? What does the Rambam say? That the Shagas Aryeh, I don't remember the Shittas Rambam. Anyone have? What is it? Anyone have the Shagas Aryeh? He quotes the Rambam. It's not entirely compelling though to associate the din of Inui with Shalo Kederech, meaning with the idea of Shalo Kederech, because it could be that the Torah Dafka wants to use the Lashon of Inui Yom HaKippurim just to teach the din of the Shir of Koseves Hagasa and not a Kazayis. So unlike Kilei Akerem or Basa B'Chalav, where the missing terminology, you got the... Where the missing terminology of Achila teaches that Shalo Kederech Achila is also Aser, it could be that over here, but that when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, the missing terminology of Achila isn't there to indicate anything about Shalo Kederech Achila, it's just there to teach me that there's a different shear when it comes to it. So Shagas Aryeh raises the question that the Mishnah says that if you eat something that's in Ru'uya, you're not Chayiv on Yom HaKippurim, and Shagas Aryeh says that the Mishnah in Yuma, so Shagas Aryeh says that the Mishnah is talking about when the Cheftza is Nifsal Me'achila, and that's different than eating raw food, which is Shalo Kederech, meaning raw food is not something that's fundamentally wrong with the food, it's just not yet ready to be eaten, it is not forever going to be irreversibly damaged in some way. When you have a cheftza that's irreversibly damaged, there's something that's mamish nifsal me'achila, so then you have a case of where you're going to be patur on Yom HaKippurim. When you have something that's mamish ein ro'ui la'achila, but if you have something that you're just having shalo kederech achila, chelev chai, something of that nature, so that maybe you would still be chayiv. So Shagas Aryeh basically says the same yesod as the Chavos Das, to distinguish between shalo kederech versus nifsal me'achila, that those are two separate concepts. Now, is it actually mutter to eat food that is rotten that's nifsal me'achila entirely? I mean, does it taka become mutter? So there is a discussion with regard to like non-kosher meat. There's a discussion with regard to chametz, where the cutoff point is nifsal me'achilas kelev, not nifsal me'achilas adam, and Yom HaKippurim, which the Mishnah also says, achal ochel she'enu ro'ui la'achilas pater. So the machlokes Rishonim that runs as follows. The Mordechai quotes Rishonim that pater means pater avalaser, but meaning we know pater means pater avalaser in Hilcha Shabbos. So Mordechai quotes Rishonim that pater only means pater avalaser in Hilcha Shabbos. Whenever you have pater in the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula, pater means pater umutter. So if you have a Mishnah, Maseches Yuma, that tells you that if you're ochel, shalo kederech achila, that you're going to be pater, that means that it's actually mutter to eat that which is ochel sheinam ru'uyim la'achila. That it's pater umutter. So to eat rotten food on Yom HaKippurim would be mutter, says the Mordechai in the name of Rishonim. The Rush, in the second parakh of Pesachim, discussing the Gemara and Daf Chafalaf and Beis over there, if you roast up and you burn chametz kodem zmano, it's mutter, the Gemara says, and Tosa says that it has to be that it's nifsal me'achilas kelev in order for it to be mutter. Meaning the only way to be matir, the chametz that's burnt, kodem zmano, is if it's so burnt as that it's nifsal me'achilas kelev. So the Rosh says, well, why does the Gemara say it's mutter ba'ano? Why doesn't the Gemara say it's mutter ba'achila? The Gemara says that it becomes mutter if you burn it up kodem zmano ba'hana'a. But if you're going to say that we're talking about something that's nifsal me'achilas kelev, forget about mutter ba'ano. It's better than mutter ba'ano. It's actually mutter ba'achila. You should be allowed to eat it. It doesn't have a din of chametz at all. So the Rosh says, and this is the major yisod, that it must be asur ba'achila, even though it's nifsal me'achilas kelev. I mean, unlike the Mordechai, who wanted to tell you that whenever we say pater, it always means pateru mutter, and therefore when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, if you have something that's ochel shein and ruyeh l'achila, it's actually mutter to eat it on Yom HaKippurim. The Rosh is medayik from the Gemara in Pesachim, that if the Gemara in Pesachim is telling us that which is nifsal me'achilas kelev prior to Pesach is mutter b'hana'a, it must be that it's still asur b'achila. Why on earth would it be asur b'achila? It's not chametz. Chametz that's nifsal me'achilas kelev, not chametz at all. So this is where the Rosh introduces us to the concept of achshavei, that a person, by virtue of the fact that he's eating it, he's telling us, yes, it is chametz. Meaning, I view this as something that's not really nifsal. If it was nifsal, I wouldn't be eating it. So even though, as a cheftza, it's nifsal me'achilas kelev, and therefore should not be chametz, and if all you wanted to do is get hanah from it, that's not called getting hanah from chametz, because it's totally nifsal. But by eating it, you're saying that in your mind, it's not nifsal, and your mind determines the reality in that context, when you're acting on it and you're eating it. So the Rosh is not clear. He is clear that achshavei works and that achshavei creates a problem, but what he's not clear is whether achshavei is a principle mida oraisa or a principle mida rabbanan. There is achshavei on a daoraisa level in other contexts. We certainly have achshavei when it comes to schitas peiros and Shabbos, but whether the concept of achshavei carries over to eating chametz on Pesach, that is not abundantly clear in the Rosh, but the impression you get is certainly that it's the Rabbanan, that it's not the Oraisa. The Raya is that the Taz in Siman Taf Mem Bei Sivkan Ches says that the Mishnah says that if you eat rotten food on Yom Kippurim, you're not going to be chayiv kares. Apparently, because achshavei has no impact midoraisa, meaning if by virtue of the fact of eating something, you're achshavei, and it's therefore going to be aser, if that were a principle midoraisa, it should be the same as eating something that's royal achila. It should be the same as eating regular food on Yom Kippur. You should be chayiv kares. But you're not chayiv kares, according to the Taz and Tafman Basif Kanuches, probably because while we are concerned for this issue of achshavei, it's not a principle on a daraisa level, it's only a principle on a derabbanan level. And we paskin like this Rosh, that l'chachila, one should not eat rotten food on Yom Kippurim, one should not eat rotten nevela all year long. However, if a person has to take a medication, so then it's going to be mutter to eat if it's nifsal me'achila, even if it's made of nevela, because we have, or a combination of, the shitas Mordechai, that once it's nifsal, it's mutter, that there's no problem and there's no principle of achshavei like the Rosh wanted to introduce. So either you could deny the entire principle of achshavei, or even if you hold like the Rosh, it could be that it's still mutter, that we're not going to apply achshavei to someone who's taking medication. Why would I not apply achshavei to a person who's taking medication? Because it could be that for a couple of reasons. It could be that in Ochinami, we do apply achshavei, but we said achshavei is only an iser midrabanan. Now you're allowed to violate a drabanan for the tzorech of a chola. So if a person is a chola and they need to take medication, it could be that they're allowed to violate that derabbanan of nevela, that's einaruya achila, utilizing achshavei. So that's somewhat of a chiddush, because it's not obvious that all isurim midrabanan are necessarily mutter for a chola shein v'sakana, but that's one possibility, that maybe it is, in fact, we do in fact apply achshavei like the shitas harash, But since achshavei only generates in this derabanan, and you're allowed to violate the derabanan for a chola, so maybe that's the heter. But the Yad Avram suggests differently. He says, no. Achshavei means, what does achshavei, just think about what the words, what the word achshavei means. Achshavei means, by virtue of the fact that I'm eating it, in my mind it's food. When I'm taking a bitter pill, not a metaphorical bitter pill, an actual bitter pill, I'm not treating it like food. I need it for my health, but it's not something that I would ever eat. It's not like I was hungry and I wanted a snack, and I therefore stuck this bitter pill in my mouth. So you can't call that, you can't refer to that as achshavei when you're taking it clearly only for therapeutic reasons, only for medicinal reasons. You're not being machshavit l'shem achila. You know, the big nafkamina, what the svara is over here. Again, if the svara is that there's no such din of achshavei, right? It just doesn't exist, like the Mordechai, and once it's nifsal me'achila, it's nifsal me'achila, so there are no further questions. A person's allowed to take it, l'chachila, you're allowed to eat it, there's no problem. If the svara is that we do apply the principle of achshavei, but l'tzorech achola, we're going to allow you to violate an issur drabanan, well, then you better make sure you're in the category of a chola, right? If a person has a mechush bialma, a person is taking preventative medicine, or something like that, you know, a person wants to take, you know, this doctor told him, used to be a thing, doctors would tell people to take aspirin every day and prevent a heart attack. I don't know if they still suggest that, but, you know, things like that. He's taking preventative medicine. Well, he's not a chola, and if you're not a chola, then it's not going to, you're not going to have that heter. But if you say, like the Yad Avram, that as long as you would never treat it like a food and you're only taking it for medicinal reasons, then you don't even need to be begeder a chola. It just needs to be something that you're not taking as food. You're not eating as food. And one of the great rayas that you're not eating it as food is that you're swallowing it. You're not even eating it in the normal way because you would never want to chew on such a thing. There are achronim that just pass them against the Shulchan Aruch and don't allow having medicine even when they become nifsal me'achila. If I'm not mistaken, the Chavis Das has such a chumrah when it comes to chametz on Pesach. Right? There used to be only one Pesach guide that came out in advance of Pesach. Now the OU has one, the Starkei has one. You know, everyone has one. But the original Pesach guide was written by Rabbi Avraham Blumenkrantz, Zichrono Levracha, who was big Talmud Chacham, but and he had a lot of chumras. He personally observed a lot of chumras in his own personal life, but also he thought they were la halacha. Like so every year, like he was the only game in town, so he would incorporate every possible halacha he possibly could that he had a shita about into the Pesach guide. So one might want to shave before Pesach, so he had his whole kuntras about electric shavers, you know, why you can't use, you're not allowed to shave, like in the Pesach guide, meaning it's got nothing to do with Pesach, but you know, like he had what to say, so he wanted to incorporate. And he did a lot of research and he spoke to all the companies, but he paskin, like the sheet of the Chavis Das, that nifsal me'achila doesn't apply to something that was never nifsal, but you made it that way on purpose. Nifsal me'achila, he thought, is only when something completely rots. But if you make a medication out of ma'achalos asuros or out of chametz, and you do it in a way on purpose to make it that way, and it's meant to be consumed, that's not called nifsal me'achila. So that's, you know, against the standard understanding. The standard understanding of the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch is that once it's nifgam, for chametz it would have to be nifsal me'achilas kelev. For everything else, nifsal me'achilas adam. So it's called nifsal me'achila. Why do I care whether it rotted and became nifsal, or I added ingredients that totally ruined its taste and made it in such a way that it becomes nifsal? But he was machmir for that shita. So for years and years, people were very concerned about this. Now, where this does come up is, you know, any chewable medication or any medication that has a pleasant flavor to it. Sometimes, I remember when my kids were young, they used to love a particular type of cough medicine. They would pretend to have coughs. I thought it was insane. I thought it tasted awful. But there's this Delsim cough medicine that has like an orange flavor, and they would like drink it like a bunch of alcoholics. Like they absolutely loved this medication. So, but that's a that 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 you know, that poses a particular kashrus problem. Now, in general, kashrus of medication and how to deal with that for children who don't swallow pills, that's a whole other discussion, a worthy discussion. I wrote about it once. I wrote an article in the RJJ Journal years ago about kashrus for children. So I wrote a section about kashrus of medication for children, where I discussed this this inyan briefly. I didn't really say any chidushim. I just basically said over what Rabbi David Heber from the Star K, the Talmud Chacham from Baltimore, what he wrote on the topic. So okay, you have to see what's reasonable in terms of medication for children, what exactly the concerns are. You know, a lot of times we don't know for sure. It's based on the fact that there's glycerin and we're not sure what the source of the glycerin is, so we don't really know that it's not kosher, and whether there's bittul, and what, you know, should you create a bittul by adding water to medications. So there's a whole raid about what to do about non-kosher medication, but it really, that's where it normally comes up. It comes up when you're dealing with flavored medication that actually is not nifsal me'achila, that it's actually somewhat tasty, and that most commonly comes up with the children's medication because children have trouble swallowing pills, so they don't make pill medication for children, they make tasty medication for children. It often comes up also when you have a girl who's a little girl becomes a bat mitzvah, so very often they're still not ready to swallow pills. Meaning that I've gotten a lot of shaylos. A girl just became bat mitzvah, so do you have the can you have the same more lenient attitude that you might have toward children with a girl who's bat mitzvah? Not really, because she's chayavis and mitzvos. She's a gedola already. You know, even before then, she already leaves the category of a chalash en basakana just by virtue of her age, right? We do assume children at a certain age are automatically a chalash en basakana, which gives you a little bit of leeway as far as violating isurim derabanan. Not for now. Okay, so that's as far as something that is nifsal me'achila. Now let's go back to discuss kederah she'ena bas yoma, which is obviously the most practical and common application of nosin tamuf gam. All right, is use a kli that's not b'nei yoma. So you can't use it l'chachila because we have gzeira, right? The gzeira ain't a ben yoma atu ben yoma. But if you know that if you know that it's ainu ben yomo b'di'eved, it would definitely be kosher because it's no sin tam l'fgam. So the question is, how do we define what's called ben yomo, what's called ainu ben yomo? So Rashi in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Zayin and Beis Dibra Maschul Bas, writes that just like in Hilchos Nosar, when the night passes, it's no longer kosher, right? The next morning, it already becomes Nosar, so too, Nosin Tam Lefkam happens when the night passes, that it follows the basic parameters of Nosar. Psachim Dav Gimel, right? Discussion about the Karmashal, that the next morning it becomes Nosar. So too over here, it becomes Eino Ben Yomo when it's not the same day being defined as a night has passed. And Rashi writes, Aval Bishal Bo Etmol Kvar Hifik Taimo Belinas Halayla, that Linas Halayla caused the time to go away. Tosos and Daf Ayin Vav in Maseches Avodah Zarah is Medayek that Rashi allows just Linas Laila, and you don't need Me'es La'es, you don't need 24 hours to pass. And Tosos points out that the phrase Bas Yoma implies the same day, and had it been 24 hours, the phrase should not have been Bas Yoma, it should have been Lo Asra Torah Ela Kedera Me'es La'es, that the Torah only asers when it's within Me'es La'es of the last time that it cooked.
According to Shitas Rashi, if you have a long enough shear of time that would normally be, let's say someone sleeps 7 hours a night, can you wait, make something?
So it sounds from Rashi that it's about, if it follows the dinim of Nosar, it's actually about night. Not only that would, you know, if you live in Alaska, or, you know, certain times of the year it barely gets dark at all, you know, it could be that like an hour later, and then it's already, nightfall has passed. You know, it's... It's a major question. Is yeah, meaning it sounds from Rashi that it follows the dinim of Noser. So whenever it's the next morning, that's it. You know, we had this discussion a little bit with waiting between Fleishigs and Milchigs, right? Does the next day automatically mean that you're good, even though it hasn't been 6 hours? You know, I mentioned, I think, that when I was in Yeshiva, my Chavrus was, I actually had it this morning, because I had meetings after Shabbos all the way up until about 11:30, and I hadn't eaten anything, I was starving, so we took some leftover Chinese from Thanksgiving. We weren't suffering about Thanksgiving this year, we had Chinese, and like my whole family was just eating at midnight, eating Chinese food at midnight, and then 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm speaking in Australia, I needed a coffee, but I wasn't even close, I was like still 2 hours away from being milchigs. So that's the so it's a similar type of discussion where we had such a shita in Achronim that the night, you know, there's something magical about a night passing. So Chazal use a phrase when it comes to Nosar called Ibur Tzura, that can pass a karban. Sometimes it's the Gemara says that any psul begufo, we apply the mitzvah shreifas kachim immediately, but when the psul is a psul in the bailim, you can't destroy it because it's still kachim, right? So the Gemara says that kol she psulo bebailim is tuuna ibur tzura, that whenever there's a psul in the bailim of the karban, you can't destroy it yet because there's nothing, as a chepsa, it's still kodesh, so you can't destroy it. You need to wait till there's ibur tzura. So normally you can't wait until the next day, but when you can't eat it, there's no issur in letting it become nosar, and to ubar tzurasan, you wait for ibur tzura, it changes. We assume that ibur tzura means that there's some sort of physical change that happens overnight. So some Rishonim assume that Ibur Tzura means that it actually spoils to some degree, whereas others, including Rashi, assume that that is how Nosin Tamlef Gam is achieved. Meaning the whole notion of Ibur Tzura when it comes to Nosar, when it comes to Kachim, is Nosin Tamlef Gam. It's the same concept. So we assume that overnight something happens to the food where it becomes a tam pagum. So Tosfos is mesupak about this. When exactly does it become a tam pagum? Is it the next morning, just like when something becomes nosar? So Tosfos Nevel Dezara points out that it's difficult to say that because karbanos are brought all during the day. But, you know, you might be cooking things during the nighttime. So how can you make a parallel? Meaning, all karbanos, you don't bring karbanos at night. So all karbanos are brought the previous day. So when we say that it's going to become nosar the next morning, it means nothing happened to it it means that it was sitting there the entire night. But what are you going to say about something that you cook? Let's say I was cooking at midnight last night. So you're going to say that it's Nosin Tam Lufgam, Lashitas Rashi. You're going to say it's Nosin Tam Lufgam when the sun rises this morning? Meaning, is that really a parallel? You don't really have that when it comes to the world of Kachin. So the passing of an entire night might be pogim, but maybe just the passing of Sof Laila maybe is not going to be pogim. Then Tos suggests that only when an entire night passes can it actually become pagum. That if we're going to make the parallel, we got to go all the way, and it's not going to become pagum if I was cooking in the middle of the night and then the sun rose. So then Tos suggests that maybe just tchilas halayla is pogim. So Tos points out that you say it goes back and forth, and Tos points out that l'chora, in light of all this, we have a little bit of a problem with Mariko Ushtifa, meaning there is a concept called Mariko Ushtifa. If there are blios of karbanos in the pot, before it becomes nosar, it's mutter. And after it becomes nosar, it's already nosim tam lefgam. So how do we understand Mariko Ushtifa? So the Rush suggests that Mariko Ushtifa is not a din in kashering a pot, it's just a chiddush haTorah that there's a mitzvah called Mariko Ushtifa. The Rush was led to that conclusion because Mariko Ushtifa is Mariko b'chamin v'shtifa b'tzonin. And why would you need, if it was really about kashering, the whole idea of shtifa b'tzonin, of then rinsing it off in cold water seems to be odd, because kashering really only requires hot water, does not require cold water. Meaning, the notion Rikus Shtifa tells me that for karbanos, you need to kasher out the pot in order that the blios don't become nosar. Well, what do you mean? If the blios became nosar, then there should be mutter. Because it's not, if you say like Rashi, that nosar and nosin tam of gam are the same thing, so as soon as the wheels become nosar, they're also nosin tam of gam, so it should be totally fine. Why would I ever need Mariko Shtifa? Before they become nosar, they're kosher blios. I don't have a problem with them. After they become nosar, they're already nosin tam of gam, so it shouldn't be a problem. So where would you ever have a situation where you need Mariko Shtifa? So the Rosh understands, Mariko Shtifa is not a din in kashering. It couldn't be a din in kashering. And his raya is from the existence of Shtifa, because there's no din of Shtifa in kashering. It happens to be, by the way, that when we learn about kashering kelim, that we do have a minhag, that we do Shtifa when we kasher kelim, that we, after we do our gala in boiling water, we then rinse it in cold water. We have to see what the basis for that minhag is, but that's not a din, that's a minhag. So the Rosh's raya still stands, meaning we don't actually need to. If you forgot to rinse it in cold water, your kelim are still kosher, right? Meaning it's not really a requirement in the kashering process, even though we have a minhag that we do that. If you ever kashered for Pesach, you ever helped out kashering for Pesach, so that's typically what you do. You keep the cold water running, you dip the fork in a giant pot of boiling water, wait till it comes to a boil, and immediately rinse it under the cold water. We'll discuss when we get to kashering why it is that we do that, but not to get confused between that and what's actually Mariko Shtifa Midoraisa, that there's a requirement of Mariko Shtifa to kasher such kelim. Rashi is a huge chiddush, meaning the idea that Noser is related to Nosin Tam Lefgam, and that it's really going to be Linas Laila that does it, even if it's Linas Kol HaLaila, like Tosus wants to suggest at one point, that you need the Linas Kol HaLaila just like you need Noser. It defies logic that would be the case, right? Meaning, like we said, you live in St. Petersburg, Russia, and it's summertime. So in St. Petersburg, Russia, during the summertime, it pretty much, it gets dark for like an hour. It's pretty much, you may never have it, Tzeis HaKochavim. I remember before Rav Shechter was going to Russia, to St. Petersburg, on one of those summer trips that, the Rebbetzin makes him take, where he goes, he goes around and he tells you all about the different Talmidei Chachamim that lived there. So it occurred to him after he had agreed to go that it's so far north that in the summertime it never gets dark there, and they were going to be there for a Shabbos. And he said, "What are we going to do?" Like, he was like, "Well, what's the plan?" And then he said, "Wait, Ravitzel Petterberger lives in St. Petersburg." That's how he got the name Petterberger. So someone's got to find out where Ravitzel Petterberger did. And so Rav Shechter kept Shabbos till Chatzos. Till Chatzos Halayla, because that's what you do if you don't if you're not convinced that it ever gets dark enough to actually be Laila. A friend of mine just told me last week that apparently there was a major concern when Rav Itzel Petterberger was very young that certain communities were going to be taken over by the Reform, and Rav Yisrael Salanter sent a few star Talmidim to different places to hold down the fort. And so Rav Itzel Petterberger was sent at a very young age to St. Petersburg for that purpose. So it could have been that it was like an Eis HaTzorech that he needed to be there. Maybe he would prefer not to live in such a place where you have such shilas, but he had to be there to prevent the whole community from turning Reform. I don't know. But anyway, so the Rashi Shita is just very difficult. Meaning, it could be depending on the season and your location on the globe, it could be an hour later, or it could be 18 hours later. It's very, very difficult to understand. Most Rishonim, including the Hagos Hashri in Siman Tes in the name of the Rashbam, the Rush in Siman Lam Devav in the name of the Ri, the Ra'ah in the Bedek HaBayis in Bayis Dalet Shar Aleph, the Sefer Truman Siman Ayin Hey, most Rishonim assume that Eino Ben Yom has nothing to do with nighttime, it has to do with 24 hours. And that's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch. Once in a while, it's just good to know Shitas Rashi, because Poskim will use Shitas Rashi as a sniff lahakel, meaning If I already have Linas Laila, so I've already satisfied Shitas Rashi, so you know you can include that as a sniff. But generally, we reject Rashi lahalacha. In fact, if you look at Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he quotes that the Minchas Yaakov says that you could be Mitzarif Shitas Rashi to a Svek Sveka lahakel. That it's not just as a sniff, but even as a Svek Sveka. That it's considered a legitimate suffix to make a Svek Sveka out of to follow Shitas Rashi. Then there's a third shita that is completely rejected from the halacha, and that is the shita of the Ritva in Avodah Zarah Daf Samach Zayin. The Ritva quotes a Rama who understands that Kedera Bas Yoma means that the Isser was only cooked in it once. Whoa, totally different. Not about how long the blios were in the pot, but that the Isser was only cooked in the pot one time. Just like, where would you get that idea? Bas Yoma means that it only happened once. It's like the expression the Ritva says, Bar Beirav Dechad Yoma. What's a Bar Beirav Dechad Yoma? Someone who spent one day in yeshiva. Bar Beirav Dechad Yoma, someone who's there for the very first time, for the very first day. He's only been there for a day. The Ritva had a girsa that he's not called a Bar Beirav Dechad Yoma. He had a girsa that he's called a Ben Yoma. Okay, so then it's a little more compelling, right? That the language is a parallel, that the guy who's only been in yeshiva for a day is called the Ben Yoma. So if it only had Issa cooked in it once, it's Asr forever min HaTorah. However, if food was cooked in it more than once, then it's totally Mutter min HaTorah, even on that same day, because the two Tafshilim are poging each other and cannot forbid the Tavshil Shel Hatter. Whoa. So if you, so the way to kasher a pot, min HaTorah, would be to cook more treifa food in it. Because once you've had more than once, you've had non-kosher food cooked in, we assume that each one is pogam the other. But if it was only used once for non-kosher food, then it's going to ruin the Tavshil Shel Hatter. The Ritva refers to this shita as a davar chadash shelo ne'emar me'olam. Meaning, you know, not particularly enthralled, but it exists, this shita. The reason the Ra'av felt compelled to say this is that by Milchemes Midyan, they probably had a night pass without any cooking being done, and the Torah still asered the kelim. And that would also explain why the Torah requires kashering rather than just waiting a day and not needing to kasher. The Ritva says, no, the question about Klei Midyan could be answered, is it not even been used since the previous day? The Ritva says, Osam taf v'nashim ha-midyanim shalo hargum rei shol bishol b'lai lebosam kelim. Who told you that they went a whole night without being used? Maybe the taf v'nashim that they didn't kill from Midyan, whereas they wiped out, as they were killing out the Midyani army, the taf v'nashim still had to eat dinner that night, so they were still cooking in those kelim that night. So maybe it's not such a given that the kelim weren't used over the course of the night. Okay, but anyway, those are the three basic shitos in terms of how to define ben yomo. You have Rashi that says it all depends on a night passing, and Tosa says this whole back and forth what that means. Sof halayla, kol halayla, tchilas halayla. When exactly does that happen? This parallel to Nosar. You have most Rishonim, which is what we paskin maker idea, that it's 24 hours, and then you have that wild card shita, the Ritva, that quotes from the Rama that it means that it was ben yomo means that it was used only once. But here's where it gets tricky and very, very much nogeya when it comes to Erev Pesach in particular. What happens if you have used the pot within 24 hours, but not for the non-kosher, or not for chametz? I cook nevela, and then I heat up water a few hours later. Now, when is the 24 hours up? Is it 24 hours from when I cooked nevela, or is it 24 hours from when I heated up water? Now, how we answer this question is going to be, the previous discussion is going to be very instructive. Because if we're allowed to use Rashi as a sniff lahakel, so it may turn out that if there's a machlokas over here, we can make a svek sveka using Rashi plus whatever shita is more makel over here. So let's discuss this. Does the clock restart when you cook up water within 24 hours? So the Tur writes, V'im betoch me'es la'es shebishluba, chimimu ba afilu mayim levadam, chashiva bas yoma asher tiyishe me eis le'eis l'chimum ha'mayim. Right, the Torah, very clear, he's quoting the Bala Truma, that it's based on the idea that the mayim becomes nevela, since there is not shishim to be mevatel the pleitas akli, and now this new tam shel mayim, which is aser, is now being nivla mechadosh into the kli. Right, he says that the clock restarts. Why does the clock restart? The mayim isn't treif. Answer is, yes it is. The mayim becomes nevela. That the blios of the pot come out into the mayim. Now chatichanas nevela, the entire mayim becomes nevela. The blios of that trefa mayim are now going back into the pot, and there your clock restarts as the mayim gets absorbed, reabsorbed back into the pot. That is what the Torah quotes from the Sefer HaTruma. Comes along the Beis Yosef, and he quotes that the smak disagrees. Acha she'ein b'gufa iser ben yomo. Ein lahachshivo keben yomo, meaning there's a dispute whether chaticha nas nevela impacts time. Some rishonim say that it restarts the clock, while others say that ein anesa yachal esa el bezman sha'osa yachal esa. That what are you going to say? The blios, which themselves would have become mutter after 24 hours, have the capacity to give the water the koach to aser for longer than the blios themselves could have asered? No, it can't be. If absorbed taste is going to lose the capacity to aser itself, then that which it gets absorbed into can't be stronger than it. And the Beis Yosef says that we should be mekel, because really we hold like Rabbi Ephraim that you don't say chanan b'shari surim. Right, meaning we're going to get to this when we do Basar B'Chalav, but Machlokas that comes up a lot, right? Whether we say Chatik Nas Nevela V'Shari Surim, it's Machlokas Mechaber Ama, Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rabbeinu Tam. So Beis Yosef says, really we pass like Rabbeinu Ephraim, that we don't apply Chatik Nas Nevela V'Shari Surim, and since the sheet of the Sefer HaTruma that the Torah quotes, that's Machmir with the water being cooked in the pot, relies on saying Chatik Nas Nevela on the water, so okay, so we don't have to worry about it. Basar B'Chalav will change things, though. Because Chatikah Nas Nevela definitely applies to Basar B'Chalav. Right? We certainly apply Chatikah Nas Nevela when it comes to Basar B'Chalav. So the Torah simply writes, Ve'enu kein v'basar b'chalav, k'deprishus l'el, b'lchus basar b'chalav, simen tzadi dalet. So, there are two reasons to suggest that, that the clock restarts if you cook the non-kosher in the pot and then cook water. Meaning, before we get to how this plays out in Basar B'Chalav, if you cook non-kosher in the pot and then you cook water in the pot, that would restart the pot. But if you, it would not restart if you cooked fleishig and then water. Let's say, if restarting the clock is based on chanan, so then it makes sense that won't apply from fleishig to milchig. I mean, if I cooked meat and then 12 hours later I cooked water and then 13 hours later I cooked milk, if the only reason to restart the clock is chanan, you're not going to restart the clock in such a case. Why? Why would you restart the clock? If I cooked meat, 12 hours later I cooked water, and then 13 hours later I cooked milk, why don't I restart the clock with the water? It's a terrible, right? You're not going to say chanan when it's all basar. That's just, there's no treifus yet. So you're not going to say chatikah nas nevela, something that's kosher, right? So you're not going to apply chanan to the water. Tosos and other Rishonim suggest that the difference between non-kosher versus basar is that is not barnat, meaning the water gets the original blia and then gives tam back into the pot. That's really the hetero bali surah bali, meaning two separate things. One is two separate possibilities why to distinguish. One is that you can't apply chanan to kosher tam that's put into water. You don't say that the whole water becomes basar. We say the entire water, even if you hold chanan, that means that the whole water becomes nevela, if there was tam nevela that went into it. But not that it all becomes basar. And the other possibility, Tosus and other Rishonim assume, is that it's all about hetera bala versus yisura bala. That if it's non-kosher food, not barnati yisura, and it's therefore going to be aser. I mean, no matter how many nesinas tams there are, but if it started out as iser, even when it weakens through not barnat, through multiple transferences of taste, the iser is still there. But to create a chalos iser through not barnat, you can't have. So the clock would restart when it comes to not barnat yisura, but if it was tam basra that went into the water, it's not barnat ha'etera, which would then be mutter. So there are several permutations as to how exactly this would apply and this would relate to basar v'chalav. Let's say the following four permutations. Number one, if you cook basar v'chalav, mamish basar v'chalav, you cook basar v'chalav, then you heated water in the pot before there was a linas laila, before it even had a linas laila, you cooked water in the pot. So now everybody agrees l'chara that you count me'es le'es from the shas chimum hamayim. Why? Why would you count me'es le'es from the shas chimum hamayim? Because now you're going to say it's basar v'chalav, chatich anas nevela, and it's going to trafe everything up. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Siv Zayin, based on the Sefer HaTrumah and Siman Ayin Hey, the water becomes nevela. So the Shach raises the question that according to the Mechaber, that we don't say chanan bishari surim, why is it that you need to count from when the water is heated? Meaning, shouldn't the water have a din of shari surim? Meaning, what is the vart in the difference between shari surim versus basar v'chalav by chatichanas nevela? What's the lumdus? What's the svara? Why is it that by shari surim you might not say chatichanas nevela, but by basar v'chalav you would say chatichanas nevela? So the whole lumdus is that by basar v'chalav you're dealing with heter and heter. And it's only the combination that answers them. So yeah, the whole Tarovis is going to become Nevela. Because it's the meeting of the two that generated the Isser. Whereas, when it comes to Shari Surim, I have Tam Nevela that penetrates Heter. Maybe I'm not going to say the whole Heter becomes Nevela. I know where the problem is. The problem is in the Tam Nevela. I can point to it. I know that that's exactly where the problem is. And the problem is only in the Tam Nevela. It doesn't all transform into Isser. You're going to say Tam Kikar, but you're not going to say Chaticha Nasis Nevela by Shari Surin. So it would turn out, if you already had Basa B'chalav, you're not generating Basa B'chalav now. You already have Basa B'chalav. And then that basar v'chalav gives bliya, gives tam into mayim. So you're going to say that that's chatichanas nevela because it's basar v'chalav? No, that's like shari surim. Because you know where the problem is. The problem is in the tam of the basar v'chalav. The problem is not in the mayim. So that's what the Shach raises the question in Sifkat Yilches. That according to the Mechaber, that you don't say chanan b'shari surim, why would you need to count from when the water is heated? The water should have a din of shari surim. And the Shach answers that the Mechaber holds that anything that is ba mi basar b'chalav is like basar b'chalav, which is a great chiddush because it defies logic. That since it originates in basar b'chalav, it's just like basar b'chalav. Shach himself disagrees. He holds it's got nothing to do with whether mayim becomes nevela, but it's not parnat of iser, which will always be aser. Meaning that the Shach. Remember, we had two svaras. Why to be mechalik? Between basar b'chalav versus shari surim, as far as if you cook basar and then water and then chalav, 24 hours after the basar, but not 24 hours after the water. So one svara was that it was not barnat di isura. So and the other svara was that no, it's all about chanan, that you don't say chanan on the water. So here's going to be an afkamina between the two, right? Because it is isura, it's not barnat di isura that's happening over here. And therefore, says the Shach, it should be like shari surim, where you have napar nati isura that's transferring into the pot. Whereas the mechaber is apparently assuming that it's that we're going to apply chanan. That we're going to apply chanan by anything that's ba mi basar b'chalav. Now, if you cooked basar b'chalav and then the next day, before 24 hours have passed, you cooked water. So then the Shulchan Aruch paskens that you can count from the time of the cooking of the basar b'chalav. So again, mechaber paskin, you cook basar b'chalav, and that same day you cooked water, right, before Linus Laila. So then you count meis leis from the time you cooked the water. But if you waited till the next day to cook the water, then you could be makel to count back from the time of the basar b'chalav, not from the time of the water. Why? So the Shach explains, because we're mitzarif, the Shita Sosmak, who holds that you always measure mishas bishal abasu b'chalav, because ein aneser chamer yosem in ha'osar, together with Shitas Rashi, that linas lailas pogemes. So you mitzarif, those two, that's where Shitas Rashi comes in again. That according to Rashi, it's anyway going to be mutter by the time you cook the water already. It's already tam pogum. And even if you say not like Rashi, you always have the Shitas Sosmak, that the blios that had the capacity to aser can't give that which becomes muvla betocho greater capacity to asa than it itself had. What if you cooked meat? Third permutation. You cooked meat. So again, first case, you cooked bas v'chalav, then heated water in the pot before linas laila. Second case, you cooked bas v'chalav, and then after linas laila, you cooked water in the pot, right? Third case. You cooked meat, and then the next day, within 24 hours, you cook milk, and then you heat up water in the pot. So there is a machlokas. The Rama says you count from the bishul of the chalav, not from the water. The Shach thinks that the Mechaber may not agree. So Rabbi Akiva Eger explains that if you cook meat one day, and within 24 hours on the next day you cook milk, the milk is asami daraisa. Because even though there's a suffix whether linas laila counts, you'd apply suffix daraisa l'chumra. And suffix daraisa l'chumra itself is maybe nisa daraisa. So when you subsequently cook water, it becomes nevela because it's absorbing the tam basa b'chalav. Meaning, since I have to paskin savi daraisa l'chumra when it comes to the milk that was cooked in the pot the next day, so now the milk is nisa daraisa basa b'chalav. So now when I cook water, the water is going to become nevela because it's absorbing mamish basa b'chalav. Fourth permutation: if you cook basa b'chalav together, and then that same day you heat up water, and then the night passes. So the Shach says from the Torah Schata, so you can be mekel, because it doesn't matter whether nishtahe hakadera laila before or after the chimam hamayim. Meaning either way, you can still apply the svek sveka. That maybe the heating of the water doesn't restart the clock, and maybe linas laila is enough. The svek sveka is going to work whether the linas laila happened before or after the heating of the water. However, the Shach himself says that the mechaber is only going to be mekel when you cook the water after the linas laila. And the Shach says he thinks the mechaber is correct. Meaning, even though the Torah Schatas, the Ramaz mekel in Torah Schatas, says the Shach, he thinks the mechaber is more correct. That you can only be mekel when you cooked the water after linas laila. Why? What's the logic? So it comes along the Chavos Das in the Biurin in Siv Katan Yud Aleph, and the Chavos Das explains as follows: Mishum de Svirale, de Beinan Dafka Shiu Shnei Hasvekos Noldu Bebas Achas. You need, in order to apply Svek Sveka, both Svekos need to become operative simultaneously. V'lochein Keshahamayim Ischamu Achar Linas Laila Nolad Al Hamayim Shnei Svekos Bebas Achas. If you cook the water after there was a linas laila, so now that water, as soon as you cook it, has two svekos associated with that water at the same time. Dilma halach commandim linas laila pogemes. Subbing number one, maybe the linas laila is pogem, and therefore the water only received tam lifgam. V'shema halach shena nesar v'tam mishar me'isr. And the other suffix, that Eina Nesar Yachal Esar, more than it has the ability to Asar itself, and therefore you're gonna measure based on the Isar itself, on the Blios of Isar itself. Aval Kshalina Slailahu Achar Hamayim Nolad Hu Achar Hamayim Nolad Mikodem Asafik Im Nasu Hamayim Nevela Olo Mitam Chanan. But if you cook the water before the Linas Laila, so first you have the suffix of do you say chanan on the water, and then v'rak achar kach shemevashel b'heter b'nolad suffix asheni d'shem alach v'adyama shalinas laila pogemes, and then the second suffix is only going to be operative when you cook something else in it the next day on that something else. Now we're going to be able to say, oh, I have a suffix maybe like Rashi that linas laila is pogem. Ukvar asar mikach asafik arishon kodem shenolad asafik asheni. But before you ever had a svek sveka, we already paskin on the first suffix. So the svek sveka doesn't come simultaneously. You can't call it a svek sveka. It's a suffix d'arais l'chumra, so I already paskin on the suffix l'chumra. V'chein k'shoye linas laila b'ena basa l'chalav, and if there was linas laila between the basa and the chalav, nolan mikodem a suffix ala chalav imu pagum alav. So the suffix on the chalav came first, and only then do you have the second suffix whether the mayim becomes nevela. So if I have basar today, chalav tomorrow morning, And then mayim later that day, right? Then I cook something else in that pot later that day. You can't say svek sveka because basar today. So by the time I cook mayim the next day, I only have a suffik of linas laila. I don't have a suffik yet of osa of nasas nevela of chetiga nasas nevela. It's only when I then cook water that the second suffik of chadan is going to apply. Wow, so it's somewhat confusing, obviously, but the placey in Sivkat and Vav brings a smach to the idea that we paskin in Shulchan Aruch Siv Zayin to restart the clock when you cook water, from the story of Melchemes Midyan, that it's not all mistaver, it's not at all mistaver, that the Jewish people received the tzivoy about Hagalas Kelim within 24 hours of when the Goyim last cooked in them. It's much more likely that they took the Kelim, and since nobody had told them yet about Hagalas Kelim, they probably started using them, says the Plesi. Meaning, probably it wasn't within 24 hours of when the Midyanim were using them that we were fighting a war. The Tzivoy of the Kelim Midyan had to happen once everything settled down a little bit. So why was it even within 24 hours of anything? It must be that before we had any din of Hagalas Kelim, we must have been heating up water in the Kelim. Now, when they were told that a bas yoma was a problem, they had to kasher because their heating up of the water restarted the clock. I mean, the place he's cheshbening back to Melchemes Midyan and says, well, how could this have possibly happened? It must be that the whole issue of Melchemes Midyan was dafka this case. It was dafka because the water restarts the clock. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been an issue to begin with because it already would have been Eino Ben Yoma by the time we got the Kelim, by the time we got a tzivui of Klei Midyan. One last issue related to this, and that is kashering for chametz. When it comes to chametz, if you kasher, you need to wait 24 hours. Why? Because whatever tam comes out goes right back in. So the Ramban holds that that's not true. You don't have to wait 24 hours, but Tosfos holds that the blios that come out would go back in unless the blios become batel b'shishim or that they're eino ben yomo. So by chametz, Tosa says it's not such a big deal to wait 24 hours because chametz is hetera bala, so you always have nat bar nat de hetera. In Pesachim Daf Chavtes, Tosa says two deos whether chametz is considered hetera bala because it's mutter before Pesach, or do we assume that it's yisura bala because shmo alav the entire year it's called chametz. So we try to be machmir that chametz is yisura bala, and because of that, we always try to make sure that you don't use something within 24 hours before kashering for Pesach. So Shulchan Aruch paskens in Hilchos Pesach that you don't need shishim and you don't really need to wait 24 hours. But the Gra asks that that's Shita Satosu, which is based on the idea of Hetera Bala. But we pasken the chametz is Isura Bala. So you should, in that you need to do Libun. You know, we assume it's Isura Bala. If it was Hetera Bala, you would never need Libun. And yet we do Libun on those things that require Libun. So it doesn't make sense that the Shulchan Aruch will say that you don't have to wait 24 hours. And that's why many Acharim just disagree with the Shulchan Aruch, hold that you do need to wait 24 hours, and that's what we generally do. So we're machmir because we assume that it's Yisura Bala and Shita Satosos that the Tam will go out and come back in again is a Cheshbin. So once we're machmir that way, then the question becomes, okay, I'm already machmir that it's Yisura Bala and that the Tam is going to go right back in when it comes to Chametz. So now, what if I used it not within 24 hours for Chametz, but I used it within 24 hours for other things? So l'chora to be machmir in such a case is really a combination of several chumras together. Number one, machlokes tos and the Ramban that chametz is yisura bala, right? The only problem is if you're assuming that it's yisura bala, you're assuming that chanan doesn't affect the clock, right? That chetich nas nevela is not going to that the oser has the ability to aser more than it itself asers. And the chametz bePesach, what else? What's the third chumrah? Again, we're assuming several chumras over here. We're assuming that nosin tam lefgam. I'm missing one of the chumras. What? Linas Laila. Linas Laila also, yeah, Linas Laila, right? That if it's been overnight, because it's been 24 hours since the chametz was there, The minig is to be machmir anyway. So that's why the minig is that people kasha their sink like right after Shabbos, because they know that it hasn't been used for hot over Shabbos. But in a pinch, you should realize that it's a lot of shittos put together, and really make radin, you could probably be mekel. There is a machlok rishonim where the nosin tam of gam affects be'en also, and not just blios. Let's say you have a kli that has some grime on the surface. Can you wait 24 hours and assume that it becomes pagum? Or is that only blios bedofnei akli that become pagum? But a be'en on the surface of the kli is not going to become pagum. So it's a machlokas rishonim. The Gemara quotes two brises in the Masechta Avodah Zarah. One says that you use a kli without kashering, the food is going to be kosher. And the other brise says that the food is not going to be kosher. So the Gemara answers, Hakamad yamar nosin tam lefgam aser, Hakamad yamar nosin tam lefgam muter. The problem is that the Braisa also says that if you use the kli before tevila, that one Braisa says the food is kosher and the other Braisa says not kosher. What? Tevila? The Rishonim, what are you talking about, tevila? What does tevila's kelim have to do with the kashers of the food? I mean, Bishlam, you're going to tell me that I use the kli before kashering it. So you're going to have two Braisas, you're going to have a steer in Braisas. One's going to say that it's okay, one's going to say that it's not okay, and you'll answer that it all depends on the same time of gam. But mehecht is it, tevila is going to be a problem. So Tos suggests that they were concerned that if people use non-tevilt kelim, then they'll also come to use non-kashered kelim. And if you all know Sintam of Gam is mutter, then you would never make such a gezeira that you might come to use a non-kashered pot, because even if you did use a non-kashered pot, it's past 24 hours to be mutter anyways. That's the stira about tevila. That if you all know Sintam of Gam is aser, so maybe they included a gezeira not to even use a non-tovilt kli. But if you hold no sin tam of gam is mutter, so then they would never make such a gezeira. That's how Tosfos understands that line. However, the Ran, daf mem amud aleph bedapei rif in avodah zarah, says no, tevila can't mean tevila over here. It can't mean dipping it in the mikveh, because that doesn't make any sense. That it would have any impact on the kashrus of the kli. So it doesn't mean tevilas kelim. It means that the kli wasn't washed off well. Hai shelo hitbil shelo hidiach ka'amar. The avu bishloi diach shari lufi shtichas isra shal pnei akli nifka shetichas isra shal pnei akli nifkama miyom lechavero kiblia shabetocho ve'enu ki isra atzmo. Meaning, just like the blios inside of a kli become pagum, so too whatever grime is on the surface of the kli also becomes pagum. So says the Ran. So Beis Yosef says that that's also the Shitas HaRambam in the 17th parak of Machlokes HaSudos. This is not without basis, this idea that which is on the surface can become pagum. There's a pasuk in Chumash, Asher Le'ovo Be'esh Taviru B'mayim, and the Ramban says it means to wash it off. So the same over here, that Tovil means, Taviru B'mayim, means washing it off. So we're still saying Tani Chada Mutar, Tani Chada Aser, that it's, if it's Nosin Tam of Gam, that would apply to whatever minimal be'en there is on the surface of the kli, according to one braisa. So La Halacha Shulchan Aruch writes, V'hu Shetia Mudachas Shelo Yashuman Al Paneha She'im Lo Idicha the Sifei She'im Lo Idicha Oser Varei Kachatichas Yisru Shelo Nifkema V'yesh Matirin Afilu Bishel Ba Kodem She'idicha. Two days in Shulchan Aruch. Whether you could be makel even if it wasn't perfectly clean. We try not to be makel on the end becoming pagum. We try not to assume that the end could ever become pagum. However, the Rama adds that sometimes, even if it's not perfectly clean, the residue is going to be batel b'shishim anyway. Right? Sometimes there are things that are like impossible to clean. So it's helpful sometimes to remember that there is a machlokas, whether those things that are like impossible to clean, and they're just a teeny bit of residue that you can't get off, that might become pagum also. And if that might become pagum also, then it's going to be mutter. And even if not, it's probably batel b'shishim, right? That's what the Rama says. Yeshishim neged masha double kolav l'kuli al mashari me'acher dakdeira inabas yom avahachi nahuk. But the Shach quotes a marshal that me'acher dikam amashus be'en az hatam shabakdeira shenu ben yom anosin tam shvach vaviakol tam haba min amamish But then says ein nirin devarav, meaning he quotes a marshal that's much, much more machmir, and that thinks that any be'en on the kli is going to ruin everything, and everything's going to become a tam l'shvach. But he says ein devarav nirin. So important to realize that itself, because that shaila comes up a lot, that itself is a machlokas, whether any be'en on the surface of a kli can also become pagum. And with that, we'll conclude simin kuf gimel. Bezrim, tomorrow, just a few minutes on simin kuf dalid, because again, achbar shenafa l'shichra is not the most common situation, but we'll talk about how it relates to bugs and whether bugs are nosin tam lefgam in our food. So maybe just a little bit, and then we'll move on to kavish kumavushal, which is the next really major sugya be'ezras Hashem. Okay, everyone have a great day. Any word on